Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
The heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbors.
Mark Reardon.
There's nothing worse than a reckless jackass who thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
All I can tell you is I try to keep the panel in line before the roundtable starts, and that was a big, massive fail today because we've been going at it in the hallway, in the studio. It's going to be a good one. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. And Jane is not here today. She had a personal issue to deal with, so we have Jeff Rainford filling in on short notice, so I appreciate that. Jeff, how are you this afternoon?
I'm very good, Mark.
We also have, I'm going to do ladies first since I screwed it up, Mary Elizabeth, hang on.
Thank you.
Jack Coder, St. Louis Alderman. And how are you, Jack?
I'm great, Mark. Good to see you.
Mary Elizabeth Coleman, state rep. Earlier in the week, we had this listed as Jack Coder and Mary Elizabeth Coder, and we thought maybe you guys had...
It was news to us.
Right.
Wow. I know. And our spouses.
Wow. Well, kind of would make a cute couple.
I thought there was going to be an announcement today. I really did. Well, here's what the arguing was over, and that's the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict, which came in a few hours ago, not guilty on all counts. And you have the typical responses on both sides right now. I never felt, I'll just try to weigh in on this first, I never felt that Kyle Rittenhouse in any way, shape, or form was a hero. I mean, I think a lot of people on the left have tried to say that the people on the right are holding him up as a hero. My position on this was, and I said this earlier this week about Mike Brown, too. So let me take you back to that real quick. When all that happened and when the Post-Dispatch lit the fire on those protests and Antonio French did, my position was, well, I don't know at that point, did Darren Wilson do something wrong? Was should he be charged with a crime? I didn't know the answer to that question. That grand jury took witness after witness after witness, and then they came out and appropriately, based on, I've read the grand jury testimony, I've read the FBI report, based on that, Bob McCullough did not charge. He should not have charged. Right. There was no case to charge. People don't get that. They don't understand the law. No case to charge. Right decision. Yeah, we still burn down buildings, right? In this case, the narrative was set from the beginning by CNN, by the New York Times, by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, you name it. Those of us paying attention, conservative talk radio, I don't know why it's us, but this is true. And you can go back to my tweets from last year. I can play you audio of August 26th and 27th when this stuff became pretty clear that this kid was defending himself. There were all kinds of videos out there that showed what happened. Charges should have never, ever been filed in this case. The only one they had a possibility was the weapons charge, and they screwed that up because they had to throw it out because it didn't meet the definition of the statute. So the right thing happened here. Now, that does not mean that Kyle Rittenhouse should have gone up there and that was the right move. I'm not comfortable with that. I'm pretty sure at this point he wishes he wouldn't have done that. But Mary Elizabeth, I'll let you weigh in on this first and foremost. There's been a lot of tension right now focusing on this trial.
Well, so listen, I hadn't heard that the verdict had come down. I had a busy afternoon and I walked in and we started fighting about it before So I literally have heard about this for the last 7 or 8 minutes. And, people seem to want to conflate with whether they agree with all of the actions that someone took to everything that happened afterwards. And whether he should have been there or shouldn't have been there, I agree with you. He would probably say, I wish I had never been there. But when you look at all of the evidence that was put before the jury, I don't know how they could have come up with any different conclusion. We have a right to protect ourselves in this country, and I don't think that anyone celebrates the fact when that happens. I think it's a tragedy. I think that you don't ever want to have to pull a gun on somebody. Anyone who says that's something someone wanted to have happen is, I think, a little removed from reality. And so I think this was the right result. I really hope it doesn't ignite further unrest. But it's hard for me to think of what else could have happened after seeing the snippets of the trial.
Right. Well, in front of the courthouse right now in Kenosha, there's barely a crowd, but that doesn't mean that things aren't going to change later on. Jeff, what's your reaction? You disagree with Mary Elizabeth and I know this is what some of the arguments
have
been about.
Well,
we're so tame right
now. I know, right? That'll change.
Like the middler I am, I agree in part and disagree in part. I don't have an opinion on what the judge did and the jury did because I didn't watch the trial. I don't know what the law is. I didn't really pay much attention to the evidence. But as a common sense matter, It is whether it's illegal or not, it is crazy stupid for somebody to go to a nighttime protest, a very volatile situation, and show up with a gun. I don't care what kind of gun it is, but show up with a gun and then get all afraid because you're in a volatile situation after dark and you get all afraid and you start shooting people. This guy's
that's
a coward.
Whether he should go to jail or not.
We should not be allowing people, and if we're just going to basically say the cops are going to go sit on the sidelines, and Black Lives Matter, you show up with a bunch of guns, and the white, whatever he is, you show up with guns, and you guys do whatever you got to do.
Why are you bringing race into
that
this?
That is going to, because it was a racial situation. What were they protesting?
Well, you tell me. I'll turn that around. What the hell were they protesting? A guy that got arrested who pulled a knife and was had the cops
called out by
his
wife? So you disagree with what they're
wife?
Protesting, but they were they're out there protesting, right? It's a volatile situation.
So we've talked about are always racial?
We talked about at night in these protests. What we know happens. It happened in Ferguson during the day. You could bring your daughter there during the day in Ferguson, and you would have watched how it works with the First Amendment in America. You show up at night and the criminals show up.
Right?
That is what happens,
okay,
right?
But
so he shows up at night. He shows up with a gun. What happens in the future if the criminals, the nighttime protesters, show up with guns? Is this how we're going to do it? I get that there are people who don't trust the police anymore. Then we better do something about that, because if what we're going to say is the cops, you step aside and we'll all figure this out, this is the result we're going to get.
Tony Evers is the governor of Wisconsin, and he holds a lot of this blame because he held on to these National Guard troops that night and gave them a stand-down order.
Yeah.
That was his mistake, and he's probably not going to make that
mistake.
And we're
counting
tonight
on cowards like this guy to defend us?
Yeah. Yeah, we are. And you know why?
We're doomed,
Jeff? Because, we are doomed. And you know why? Because your side won't stand up for law enforcement. That's why we're doomed. Because they won't support the police. Because Tony Evers, in the People's Republic of Wisconsin, where I spent 10 years, is so afraid of the progressives that he can't stand by law and order. That's part of the problem. And also, look, you're a busy guy, and I get that. And people are busy. And I've talked about this in terms of busy people. Let me address what you just said about not knowing what went on. That's part of the problem here, because what happened from the beginning is people, CNN, the mainstream media, they put this down people's throats, and then everyone was shocked. Shocked, I say, that this evidence came out that this was heading in a direction that was going to be a not guilty. Some of it, I'm telling you, people knew this who were paying attention. So you think there's danger? Now, I want to play you what your Congresswoman Cori Bush has to say here today.
God.
I love her, and I just tweeted out that I love her because she's so full of complete crap. It's unbelievable, but she's giving our side everything that we need. And it's always about white supremacy. The judge, the jury, the defendant, she tweeted, it's white supremacy in action. The system isn't built to hold white supremacists accountable. It's why black and brown folks are brutalized and put in cages. I don't even know what the hell she's talking about. While white supremacist murderers walk free. I'm hurt. I'm angry. I'm heartbroken.
Hey,
you can be hurt and angry and heartbroken.
That's your side,
Jeff. He's not our side. That's
the
extreme on our side. You have people on your side who are cheered are cheering what happened in the Capitol and who still claim the election was stolen. We got nutcases.
Well, I condemn that.
No, we got nutcases on both sides.
Your side doesn't condemn Cori Bush.
I'm condemning her right now, but it doesn't matter. She's on the far outreaches. At some point, we're going to have to figure out how to come together in these things. Because if the way we're coming together is we're going to shoot each other, that will be the wild.
You're a former prosecutor, too, so I know you have.
And there's certainly people who are disappointed in this verdict, and there's going to be some, I suspect there'll be some protests.
to Jeff's point that, you know, he didn't watch every second of this trial. Let's remember, 12 people who did, who sat through and watched every piece of evidence and listened to all the testimony.
Took 3 days.
Yes, took 3 days of deliberating.
Seriously.
And they didn't come back. They didn't. This wasn't a hung jury. This wasn't a we can't make a decision. This was an acquittal on all the counts. I mean, that's fairly powerful. And, you know, the state obviously has the burden, and the state also has the resources, tremendous resources,
right.
You know, to charge someone and convict them, and they didn't do it here. It was I thought it was a poorly run case by the prosecution that bordered on being, you know, on leading to a mistrial.
But don't you think, I mean, the criticism from my side has, in large part, before the trial started, focused on why this was even a case in the first place.
Well,
because many of us were like, look, got Tom Binger, and then when he starts with his case, he does,
well, so that's,
he makes
an
lots of mistakes.
Point. And it's one of those, are you sort of, either way, from the state's perspective, you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, because look at Ferguson, where a grand jury didn't bring charges against
the
police
had.
Officer, and then the town erupted. Had they not brought charges in this place, I suspect we would have been in a similar situation in Kenosha.
Maybe, but that's not why you bring charges.
Or you bring charges you can prove. And if they couldn't prove that this kid committed murder, what could they prove that he did? And is he an idiot for going up there and for having a gun? Is his mom an idiot? Yes, but I don't know.
Well, they could have proved the gun charge if they had properly pled it.
It wasn't against the law there. That's the
thing. Yeah, they got. It's like Missouri. They have weird laws about hunting, and underage kids can openly carry guns because they're going to the fields.
Well, I don't think it's weird to think that kids should go hunting.
Right.
No, neither do I. I just got back from a hunting trip. But what I mean is, we living in a city, it seems odd that someone could openly carry a rifle down the streets. But those are laws that go back to days of hunting, and that's what got him off the gun charge.
Listen, we were at Dunn's in Jefferson County on Saturday. Chris finally got a gun that he'd had his eye on forever, and we went down and got it. And I got to tell you, there were a bunch of people standing around looking at buying, kind of just shooting the bull and talking about this case. And the reason they're so angry is exactly what Mark said. They don't think it should have been charged. And the point of charges is not to prevent demonstrations. It's not to try to prove something. Whether you think he should have been there or not, he shouldn't have been dragged through a trial for something that the law was really clear on.
Did you think, I'm curious, I don't know if you guys, if anyone watched as much, I'm sure not as much as I did, but the Bruce Schrader, who's the judge here in Kenosha, which is south of Milwaukee, he's been a longtime judge on that bench. He was actually appointed by a Democrat, I believe, many years ago, as the governor of Wisconsin in the 1980s. But he did some unusual things, or at least we thought they were unusual. So he was widely condemned when the jury was winnowed from 18 to 12. Did you see what happened there?
They were picked out of a hat.
So he
right?
put the judge put the juror numbers in a tumbler, right? And you could turn the thing around, pull the numbers out. The numbers that got pulled out, those are the jurors that are eliminated, right? So that even seemed weird to me, someone who's covered many, many trials. I've covered many murder trials over the course of my career. But then the explanation came. You know, people jumped on him. He said, look, this is his explanation from yesterday, because he was widely and very critical of the media, and he should have been, especially after the MSNBC incident yesterday.
Yeah.
But he said, this is why I do it. He said 20 years ago, might have been more, might have been less, I had a black defendant that was charged with murder, and there was one black juror that was on the panel, and maybe that's a problem in and of itself. But he said that person was dismissed from the jury because the clerk, the government official, pulled that number, right? He said, what do people say these days? Optics, right? Optics are important. So he's done that in his courtroom for 20 years. It wasn't odd to people who've been following Judge Schrader, because he's done that all these years. But he was under a lot of criticism for things that.
But this is the way it works. If he had been, if they had found him guilty, and this and your side would have picked at the judge and what he did. They were found not guilty. So my side is picking at the judge for what he did, right? That's how it works now, right? Same with the last election. Your side believes that the election was stolen. But that's how people are. They're irrational. And if you get the verdict you want, you like the procedure. If you get the verdict you didn't want, you don't like the procedure. And then, when the facts are on our side, and this is true of all people, we're rational. When the facts aren't on our side, we're irrational.
There might be some
and
truth
look,
to
it's
that.
It's the same thing with the election.
But look, in this case, if there were guilty charges that came in, I think there would have definitely been a lot of people very suspicious about the pressure that the jury was under, because it's human nature to worry about if you're going to be doxxed, if you're going to be attacked.
Especially when they're following the bus with the jurors. When
George
Floyd's nephew said, we're tracking these jurors and we're taking, we're going to find them. So that's all.
You either trust the jury system. That's why at the start, I did not say this judge and jury were wrong, because I accept the results of our jury system, because there is, it is not perfect, but I accept
it. By the way, as did your president, who called this kid a white supremacist and really should apologize.
Well, I mean,
I think the kid can be both not guilty and a white supremacist. I don't think those are.
But what evidence do you have that he's a white supremacist?
I'm not saying that. I don't. I mean,
I'm not. But when you say he could be, it automatically makes an assumption that he is. It is one of those things that it's like, at the end of the day, we're going to call somebody a racist because we have nothing else to say that's going to sway.
And your side does it with socialist, okay? It's what people do.
Should we hold hands and sing kumbaya about that?
You should. Have you paid attention to what they passed
exactly.
today, by
so
the way?
It's oh, my God, dude. That's why. Remember we talked before.
$500 billion for climate change.
The two
camps. That's going to help people in Jack's district. The $500 billion for climate change.
The two camps always come down in the same exact place every time.
You act like you're
not in a camp. I don't even have to pay attention to it. I already know where you're going to be. I already know where Cory Bush is going to be. I already know where the Post Dispatch is going to be.
Yeah, but
it's boring.
Jeff, there are people that take
so predictable.
Not everyone is predictable.
Like, who's not?
Well, I'll tell you what. One person who ran for president for your party, Tulsi Gabbard, she wasn't predictable. She looked at the facts, tweeted out, why is this even a case?
She's the only one on both sides.
Well, she might be, but at least someone took a
look
at the facts.
I don't know. I'm surprised by some things other people do, too.
I would like to be more surprised, but, you know, your party's falling in line behind the election was stolen. My party's going to fall in line behind this guy was a white supremacist. I mean, to me, it's like
I'm saying Jack
everybody
doesn't have
has given
to say
up their
he's
brains.
A white supremacist.
Hang on. We got much more. By the way, we don't need the whole stolen election thing anymore. I don't know if you've noticed. We're fine. All right, welcome back. It's a Reardon Roundtable for this Friday afternoon. There is absolutely no way that I'm going to get every topic on my list in because we spent about a half an hour on Rittenhouse.
Could always extend the show.
Well, we might do that here this afternoon.
I got to pick up a kid at 4:30.
Mary Elizabeth Coleman, State Rep, is with us. Alderman Jack Coder, Jeff Rainford. Jane's off today. She had something to attend to. Just quickly, I want to address the Ahmaud Arbery case, too, which I think is completely different from Rittenhouse. They're getting looped in together by some on CNN and elsewhere. Look, I'm waiting for the evidence in that. What I've seen so far is not self-defense in the Arbery trial. But that one's not over, and the jury's hearing all of the evidence. So I think it's a completely different case. Hey, Jeff, the House passed a $1.9 trillion Build Back Better bill, which is completely paid for. Nancy Pelosi told me that again today, even though the CBO says, wait. So I think infrastructure was a good idea, not the bill that passed, but I think there's support for that. But this is way over the top, especially when you consider where the spending is going.
There's two things I find. One thing I like about it, one I find remarkable, and I'll try to be quick about it. The part I like about it, anything we do to subsidize children and families, I'm for. So anything for daycare or jobs and that sort of thing. So a skinny down version of it, I think I would support, taking out a lot of the nonsense I'm not for. But I'm for families, I'm for children, and you know, I'm wondering now with we're having difficulty getting enough people to work. If there aren't women who, if the daycare situation was better, maybe they would work. But the thing I find remarkable is the reason you say that this thing doesn't pencil out the way the Democrats do is you're making an assumption that these entitlements will never go away. And in that assumption is, and I believe you are correct, in that assumption is when the Republicans take over, even though they're against it today, either these things will be too popular or they won't have the backbone to do it. And so the assumption is that when the Republicans get back the House and the Senate, they will leave these entitlements in place. So I kind of find it laughable that Republicans say, oh, these entitlements will never go away, when they will have a chance to make them go away, as they did with Obamacare. They had the presidency, the House, and the Senate. They complained about Obamacare, but they didn't do anything to take it away. And they're right. They won't have the guts to take
Mary
it
Elizabeth,
away.
Mary Elizabeth, you
time.
Have to recognize that's a very early acknowledgement that that's going to happen next January.
By the way, then you'll give it back
win.
To us.
Well,
right?
Sure. Listen, I guess what I assume is that the CBO is better at math than Nancy Pelosi, and that when they are coming out with these projections that are absolutely contrary to what Pelosi's office is publishing on the cost, that maybe the CBO knows what they're talking about and that these expenses aren't going to
but
just
why,
be
Jack,
gone.
Why did we need what is so great about this bill, Build Back Together?
I mean, Build Back Better, right?
Whatever.
What's in it, Jack?
Look, there's all sorts of great stuff in here. You guys are criticizing the climate change stuff.
How many billions?
Providing, yeah, about $500 billion is climate change. And I think that number is going to go down. But encouraging renewable energy, encouraging solar, encouraging companies to get greener, I think is a good thing. Maybe that's a philosophical difference we have. You know, paid family leave, I think, is important.
Wait,
child tax credits.
I'm not opposed to encouraging anything. What I'm opposed to is the government manipulating the market. Let the market decide. Do you have an electric vehicle? Anybody in here have an electric vehicle? Of course not.
Okay,
we don't.
Actually, I'm really sorry. I have to admit, I drive my 16-year-old son drives a Prius, but it's a hybrid. It doesn't count.
But my point is does that need an electric vehicle charging station?
No,
I'm like Kevin McCarthy. I can't afford a Tesla.
I was going to say.
My point is, Jack.
Yeah, but I mean, affordable housing in St. Louis. I'm really glad they're required to have electric charging vehicles.
There's a lot of money for affordable housing in this bill. I mean, if you start looking at the pieces, it's a lot like Obamacare. You can say Obamacare is no good, but then when you start breaking out the individual pieces, it's like, okay, so what do you want to cut? Now the Senate's going to have to make that decision because this still has to go through the Senate.
It's going to get pared down if it's even passed.
Two reasons I can't say it's a terrible bill through and through is because nobody's really seen it. But second of all, of course, there's stuff in infrastructure that I like.
Yeah.
There's stuff in infrastructure that I love, but there's a lot of stuff in that bill that I don't think Roy Blunt should have voted for, and I think they should have worked out differences.
Let me ask you this about the infrastructure bill then, or maybe I should ask you about this. Republicans, there are only a small number of Republicans who voted for the infrastructure bill. When this money comes back to Republican states like Missouri, are you going to stand on your laurels and are you going to reject
it? They'll take credit.
I've
already seen congressmen doing it.
It's
hypocrisy.
Politics.
That's all I'm saying. It's politics. That's all I'm saying.
But to Jeff's point on, when the Republicans take control, which I think is fairly inevitable in 2022 when they take control of Congress, are you guys going to roll back the $300 child tax credit? Because I'll believe it when I see it.
They won't.
I don't think that's going to be popular.
Let's address, the thing about that tax credit that I don't understand, a couple of things. One, I think there's probably a lot of people that need that, and I would be for that.
I'm for it.
Yeah, but Jeff, there are people. I talked to someone yesterday, a friend of mine, got $400 put in his account. He had no idea why the government put that in his account. And there are people that's happening to that don't need the money. We don't have a good system of getting the money to the people who genuinely need the money. So I think that's a big problem. So what's the – but here's my point, though. You guys love – man, I'll tell you what, Nancy Pelosi, we're going to campaign. We're going to beat this. We're going to take back those terrible Trump tax cuts. What's the difference between giving someone – more money in their paycheck that they can take home, not confiscating their money? Okay, that's terrible with you guys, right? That's a horrible thing.
Well, no. I don't know about the far left, but the Dick Gephardt Democrats would be for middle-class tax cuts. Now, about the far left, I can't speak for them.
But then you can't pay for all the stuff you want to do.
But what's the difference between you're
still
spending money?
Well, both parties have given up on being fiscally responsible.
What Mark is saying is absolutely right. You're saying instead of giving tax dollars at the front end, we're going to do it at the back end. So we're going to collect it all and then pay it all out. Or we're saying, why don't you just keep your money?
Right. That's kind of my point. Thank you, Mary Elizabeth, for doing that.
But the people that are getting the tax break likely are not, they're not going to get
it. That's not true. Everybody's getting this child tax credit. I have six children. This is a lot of money that I have to hold and then pay back in my quarterly estimates. It's stupid.
I mean, it's kind of quibbling, if you ask me. You have a legitimate point, but it's kind of quibbling over the broader issue, which is your side, which is going crazy over this today, going to take it all back when they get into office? And history would tell you, no, they will not. It's
universal
all baloney.
Good luck pulling that back.
But let's kind of shift to where things are. And I've always admitted, look, a lot can happen between now and next summer, next fall. You don't know what's going to happen. We have the economy is doing very well right now. I think it's going to continue to do well. Whether he deserves credit or not, he might get some credit for that, Joe Biden, next year, maybe Democrats. But the point is that I think it's pretty apparent, and you guys have both admitted this, that there are issues here with this president, with the vice president in particular. And I don't know where you think the focus is or why this has happened, but there's cratering going on, isn't there?
We're going to lose. First of all, historically, the party in charge loses the midterms. We will lose the midterms. How big it is, I mean, it's too early to tell whether it's 40, 50, 60 seats in the House. We are going to lose the midterms. I will say this, though.
I said 100.
That was too much, but 70.
But I will say this. It's too early for 24 because there's no possible way this infrastructure bill that people actually see the benefit of it by next November. But 2.5 years from now, I think they will. Same with inflation. I don't know how you stop inflation between now and next November.
Well,
but
maybe
they don't spend all this
so
money and print it.
Well, that's not the point. The point is...
What's
going to happen next November? We're going to lose because inflation will not be under control by next November.
In fact,
but will it be under control by 24? I think it very well well, could
why?
Be.
How?
Because the supply chain things, which is the bigger thing, more people will enter the workforce. COVID will be under control. Well, there are a lot of things that go into this. It's not just government spending.
We better hope
and
that it's better by 2024. Well, I think, we got a whole lot bigger issues.
That is very possible. So I am completely bearish on 22. I think 24 is an open question, particularly if your party has to stick with Trump.
Yeah.
Well, Mary Elizabeth, what would you say to that?
I would say I don't think that Biden and Harris are going to be a winning ticket in 2024 either.
Well, Biden,
if that's
Biden's
your strategy, you could be in trouble because I'm not convinced they'll even be on it. And if your side is counting on that, that's not a good strategy.
That's what I'm saying. Right. My point is to say, in the last year, people are not at all happy where we're going. The political cycle is so fast, you can't make a credible prediction about 2024 like you're trying to do right now.
Well, but we
well, no, you were making the prediction the other
way. We know that things are
going to
change, too. It's hard to say. This is why I want to be a little cautious, because by next summer, maybe gas prices go. I don't know what's going to happen, but there are going to be things that will happen
things will
and turn things in the other direction.
I just don't think that you can. It takes a long time to right a ship, and it's not going to happen immediately. And although there are other key indicators that are doing well, I think most middle-class families are not feeling like the economy is going really well for them.
I wanted to play this here. Because if I can find, where is Mr. Schumer? I know that Dave was going to put, Dave, if you're in the room listening right now, I'm looking for Chuck Schumer and I can't find it right now because he said something just ridiculous about climate change. Where is that? Anyway, I'll kind of,
oh, he was saying it's the next COVID.
No, it's going to kill more people
than COVID.
Yeah, so react to that. Do you guys not see?
Will. I mean, between
Jack, come on, dude.
It's not going to kill half a million people in a year. No, but as the oceans continue to rise and weather gets more volatile, and we have
really
bigger
haven't
bigger storms,
into that, have you?
I really have.
Let me ask you a serious question, Jack. How many people in Africa, in South America, in Asia, okay, in Russia? Who live in poverty, who don't have access to energy, would live if they had carbon-based energy to heat their homes and to cool their homes and actually have homes with. Don't you think that that's part of the equation, too? You guys are worried
about a point and a half percentage and droughts in Africa, too, which is a result of climate change.
And what can you do about it? What can
age?
We do about it?
Chuck, are we the same age?
I don't know.
Do you remember? I think we are.
Think
you grew up in, like,
age.
The 80s and 90s, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember when they used to talk about the CO2? The aerosol cans, and it was going to create the hole in the atmosphere.
Oh, of course. Yeah. We had to get
and
rid
we were
of
all
going to
die
we got
because
rid
of it. And then also, don't forget, we had to cut the six-pack tabs. I mean, all of it feels like if you just wait until 2020, the whole oceans are going to swallow, and they just keep moving
yeah,
the dates back.
You do
it's
have one. You guys
ridiculous.
Do make one point. I'm not going to learn about climate change from politicians and elected officials, but I am paying attention to what insurance companies and the people who have to make claims from these growing number of storms and bigger storms, what they're doing. I do own a place in Florida. I'm very fortunate, and there's going to come a time here. Our insurance rates, because of the hurricanes, are getting worse and more damaging.
They're not, Jeff.
It's
you're
difficult.
It's very difficult to get. That is a complete lie. You can say what you want about your insurance, okay? I don't care about your insurance. You can pay. But
it's harder and harder to get and more expensive.
You need a better insurance company. Wants to tell us about hurricanes.
I do.
Okay.
Because look, I got people on your side of this that I can cite, by the way. They believe in global climate change and that we're causing it. They will tell you that we don't have more tornadoes. We don't have more wildfires. There's all kinds of factors with this. We got tornadoes hitting subdivisions in the middle of states where there were no subdivision. We actually have fewer tornadoes than we did in the 1950s. And if some increase is present, we didn't have the technology back in the 1950s that we have now. You guys make this stuff all the time.
I'm not making this.
You make it up.
I don't want to pay more in insurance. I don't want to be in.
I
don't
want to buy a house on the coast.
Stop your party.
I'm 7 miles in. I don't want to be in a community that their insurance company goes bankrupt and while they have a claim from a previous hurricane, which is the situation I was in.
Let me go back to Jack. Jack, James Hansen, who is the grandfather of climate change, right? He's been the guy, man. He's been warning us. You know what he thinks of the Paris Climate Accord?
What's that?
He says it's not going to make a damn bit of difference. And the reason is he thinks we need to go further, right? He doesn't think 1.5 is enough and that everything in the Paris Climate Accords will not achieve that reduction of global temperatures, right? So he's the guy that's in charge of all this. He says you're not. So in order to go as far as you want us to go, because you're worried about, floods and all that stuff,
yeah,
we
am.
Would all have. Okay,
and so
now let me ask you this question.
Much younger than me.
Sure they are, because they've been brainwashed. Do you let me ask those younger people.
You laugh. They have.
They have been. Do you think the younger people, I bet you got friends that live in pretty nice condos and stuff, right? I bet you have a nice house. Would you like, I'm not kidding, would you like to live in a room approximately this size, maybe a little smaller, okay? About 600 square feet is what you'd get. That's the only way. And by the way, even if we do, you wait, because I'm on here. Even if we would do all
that. Show.
Let's say we do all that, or we flip a switch and we shut this country down.
Why do I have to live in a smaller house? Why can't I get some solar panels and, you know,
because
use
that
renewable
technology is not available. And you can talk about that in the future. Here's an idea. I'm going to put something on the table here. We have this amazing form of energy that will instantaneously reduce emissions. You know what it's
Nukes.
Called?
Nuclear
for
power.
I'm for nuclear. It.
And
why
I'm for,
is your party
and
not?
I'm for
why
fission.
Are you not?
And I'm also for fission. So,
no, they are.
So there's two different issues here.
Wait,
one
both
is,
are?
Is
I'm so sorry. I'm so shocked.
One is the planet changing? And then the second is what we do about it. I think there is, we can't even get COVID right. We can't get masks right. We'll never get this right. So you know what I think we should do? We should make ourselves resilient to the changes that are coming. But to even be in denial that they're coming or that
adaptation.
They're already here, that I don't agree with. But I think it's too late. I don't think we have the political will to do it. I don't think we have the financial will to do it. So we need to start doing things like, you know, we have to start dealing with places that have droughts. We have to start dealing with places that have floods.
You guys, want these things to happen.
A utopia.
That
if only
not,
we
no, it's
had.
Not a utopia. It's infrastructure.
Happen,
oh, that's right. That's right.
Government.
For Republicans, infrastructure.
Hang on. We got to go. We got to take a break.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, welcome back. It's a Reardon Roundtable for Friday. Dan Buffo with a lot of movie stuff. I've seen Encanto, the new Disney movie. He's got King Richard, Ghostbusters, and a few others. Cusimano in the next hour as well. Hey, Rainford, do you think we can beat Florida maybe tomorrow and go to a bowl? I don't think it's out of the question. Although every time I believe in the Missouri Tigers football team, then they take a dump.
I'm going to certainly, I don't know anymore because I was starting to believe in the basketball team. And
yeah, don't get me started on that, okay?
So I don't know anymore. I'm kind of withholding until we see because there's been a lot of great talk and the results on the court and the results on the field have been Very disappointing.
Very disappointing.
I mean, and we got a five-star recruit, and I've been reading about the University of Florida, and their coach is under siege because he's only got like 6 5 stars. We got one and went crazy over it. So I don't know.
Well, that's what makes it challenging. TJ Moe, former Tiger, was in here earlier this week. I said, TJ, can we beat Florida? And he said, no, because they got a bunch of 4 and 5 stars and we don't. He said, well, but if, you know, they are kind of collapsing. And
they are collapsing big time.
Yeah, so there is a possibility. Let's, Jack Coder, St. Louis Alderman, Jeff Rainford, former chief of staff for Mayor Slay with Rainford and Associates, and State Rep. Mary Elizabeth Coleman is here. Let's talk about COVID. You know, there's this weird story today, and I don't think I'm going to have time to talk about it in any other time. I'm going to toss it out. We'll talk about what's happening in this country. Has anyone, and I'm going to guess that the answer here is that you have not heard about, let's see here. I want to make sure I get Zimbabwe. Have you heard about Zimbabwe?
No,
I don't know.
This is fascinating.
Okay. I've heard of Zimbabwe.
But listen to this. There are 14.8 million people in Zimbabwe. Okay, 14.8 million people. Their vax rate is less than 6%. This week, they recorded a total of 33 COVID deaths. Scientists don't know what's going on. It's like,
are they spread out?
They're outside.
Well, they're outside, but
they're outside and spread out. That would be the explanation. Because the more densely populated, the more people are inside. Because remember, in Florida, everybody was falling over in the summertime because it's so hot, they go inside. And here, they fall over in the wintertime because it's so cold, we go inside. So if they're spread out, that might explain it.
Well, here's what the story says. That the first theory is that the COVID epidemic is just as bad everywhere else, but we simply don't collect enough data to realize it. The second theory, that doesn't really make sense. The second theory is that scientists should be studying the African people to see if they're somehow more naturally resistant to the novel coronavirus. The final theory is that the average age of people this is interesting, it really is, because when Italy got hit, the average age was really, really high. Remember, the average age is 20 because life expectancies are much lower. So younger people are less likely to die from the disease. But it is a weird thing. But where are we in Missouri, in the nation with COVID right now?
Well, in Jefferson County, I could tell you that we have been pushing back, trying to make sure that we're getting clear information from the health department, that we are making sure schools are following the data and the science to keep healthy kids in school. And there was a big win in Jefferson County for parents wanting to keep their kids in school who are healthy and have masks be optional. A judge issued a TRO against the health department saying they had to tell everyone that their guidelines were just guidelines, which is what they were telling the schools. And they couldn't use the forms that they had given to the nurses that made it look like the health department was sending kids home. It was the schools who had to make their own policies. And what's so interesting about that is the health department was arguing against telling the public the truth. It's just crazy.
And you had to go to court over that.
Yeah. Some parents won. There's a TRO that was issued. The case is ongoing. Fox School District, which is one of the biggest school districts in the county, in light of that, ended up modifying all of their policies and procedures on Tuesday. They had an open vote, which is really what so many parents are wanting, right? We're wanting school-specific result or school-specific policies that are based on what's happening in the building and that let parents decide what's best and voted on by the people who are elected to do
that. I will say, I think a lot of us who have kids in school, school-age kids, and I have the first grader, I think we thought this was going to be a really, really rough fall because of potential quarantines and things like that. I have to hand it to schools and school districts because I think they've done a very good job of managing this and not overreacting for the most part. And kids have been in school. So I think that's a good thing. But what you're describing is a little troubling as well.
Well, I mean, I think what we want is we want each school district to be able to make those decisions about what's best in their districts and to have the policies be voted on. These are difficult decisions. People feel strongly about whether you should be, you kind of think of it as the metrics people who say only the metrics. And some people say overall risk to kids of not getting access to their education. And so people get into these two camps. And that's why we need the people who are elected to do it to be able to vote on what those policies are. So I thought it was a great win for transparency and for, frankly, good governance.
Did anyone, you know, I didn't talk a lot this week about the Gosar censure, quite honestly, because I was focused on Rittenhouse and every other thing. The thing that's been frustrating, I'd love to offer an opinion on that anime video that allegedly shows, I guess, somebody killing AOC. I'm not even sure what it shows because I haven't seen it. I feel like we're in communist China right now. Because you're telling me that that video was so horrific, maybe it was, that we can't show it anywhere, that it doesn't live on YouTube, that it can't be shown as an example? Because I talked to several members of Congress who were asked to vote on the censure, and they haven't seen it. So it's weird. Isn't it weird, though? I mean, no matter where you might
seen
be
the
on
video.
This, nobody has seen the video.
No,
well,
but I just
we
think
get a
it,
text of the. I don't want to ruin the magic of the radio show, but we get a text of possible topics when you're going to be a guest on the roundtable, and I hadn't seen the video, so I even went on and tried to find it.
I've been
I couldn't
trying
find
to find it. Right, I know.
I mean, but it does speak to, you know, you can agree with AOC and her policies or not, but it's wholly inappropriate for another member of Congress to be. It, whether it's jokingly, in jest, or whatever, encouraging violence against another member is not appropriate. And I mean, I think there should be consequences for that type of behavior.
Well, I don't think there. I think the consequence should have been to have a woman play him on Saturday Night Live and make fun of him. But because what he did was like, you know, if I had an 11th grade son and he did that, I'd be ashamed and tell him to take it down. It's juvenile. There are drunk frat boys who are more mature than him. But to then censure him makes him into a hero. And this guy, even his own colleagues can't stand this guy. Now, they're not going to throw him under the bus because it's either him or Nancy Pelosi. So that's an easy choice for them. So he should not have been censured. But make no mistake about it. It was immature. And, you know, and the same thing with whatever this thing is that
but
is
maybe,
now supposed
maybe it
to
was,
be. A,
Jeff, but I'd like to make that. I'd like to weigh in and just kind of see the video because I don't believe what I'm being told in many situations. I don't know. I was told by the media that Kyle Rittenhouse was a white supremacist murderer.
He was hunting people.
That's
I mean,
right.
Listen.
Well, last time
a,
I checked, you are the media.
Well, not I'm not the legacy media. We'll put it that way. Mary Elizabeth, have a great weekend. Rainford, God, why did I invite you this afternoon? I don't even know. Jack, you guys have fun on the golf
Thanks,
course
Mark.
This weekend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.